First item to take up this morning would be House Bill 344, appropriation of Department of Public Safety for computerized fingerprint system.
I'll take it. Representative Anderson, did you want to testify on this bill?
Mr. Chairman, only if I can add something to the committee deliberations here. I'd be happy to testify if there's any questions. If not, why?
You might just, for the sake of those, I think this thing's been discussed all session. If you'd have a seat, maybe in case there's somebody here that might want to know a little bit about the program. Originally, and I'll tell the members, that originally, I think this was a $4 million and something dollar program. The House reduced it to $2.7 million. It looked like it wasn't going to go, so I had talked to Public Safety and ended up putting $1.7 million into the budget just to make sure that if something would happen. I've been told that $1.7 million is not going to do anything but buy the hardware, and it just isn't. You know, you either have to commit yourself to the program or you don't, and you had adjusted these figures back to $2.7 million is about as close as we can get if we want to do the program. Otherwise, we're not really going to gain much by $1.7 million isn't going to do the job.
That is correct, Mr. Chairman. The $1.7 million will actually buy a non-system, a non-functioning system. So, very, very least amount of money that the system can be put into operation for, and the equipment purchased and installed and so forth is for $2.7 million. And that will buy the main computer system that will be located in Anchorage, and then subsystems located with the Anchorage Police Department in Anchorage and also in Juneau in Fairbanks.
Okay, and I think it goes without saying that this generally has the support of law enforcement around the state.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, it does have the support of the Alaska Association of Chiefs of Police, the Alaska Peace Officers Association, and individual police employee associations throughout the state.
I personally, in my experience in law enforcement, has convinced me that this is something that would be beneficial to the state. And I think there's a number of crimes right at present that had this been in operation, we could probably, or there's a good feeling we could have resolved. At any rate, I think it's something that the body ought to vote on. So I've removed the 1.7 from the budget, and we can move this bill on the floor and let each person, I'd like to have everybody have an opportunity to vote. Well, I told them I can get somebody if you insist. I don't know if there's anyone here that would want to do that. I had told them that I didn't think that it would be necessary this morning because Chief Anderson was here, but if, well, I can get them all.
I'd just like to know if you testify instead of theirs.
Well, I won't blame him for not being here. I think I indicated that he didn't have to be. Now, I can pretty well tell you that Commissioner Nix is of the opinion that while he would, it's just like Chief in Anchorage, if they have to on a lean year, as much as we've cut out of their budgets, if they have to take it out of their operating budget, they're going to say that they really don't think they can afford that. If we, in a list of priorities, they would probably not do it. But overall, if we have the money, if we want to do it, I think we can support it. I can't imagine Public Safety not wanting to do that. There's some question about, and we don't want to get into the power struggle among the police departments about who gets the computer type thing. But I think, generally speaking, that if Commissioner Nix were here, he would tell you that if that were not coming out of his budget, if he didn't have to reduce his line item budget, he would support it. But if he did, he wouldn't. So therefore, I'm just taking it and letting the legislature carry the ball and get on the floor.
Chairman,
Sylvia?
The thing is, the program started out as a statewide coverage, and that was reduced to include just the cities of Anchorage, Fairbanks, and Juneau, as I understand. So I don't know how much support there not covering the state of Alaska, it's covering three cities.
Well, and that's true. We had to cut back, and it cut back, but I think if you, probably be a misconception to leave the idea that it doesn't cover Alaska. It does cover Alaska, and I think Chief Anderson can explain that, but what it does is the terminals had to be cut down. The city of Sitka, and the city of Seward, and the city of Valdez does not have a terminal for that. But they have access to this terminal in a number of ways, and they can get their stuff in, but it was awfully expensive, and when you really look at fingerprinting, the number of prints that would be printed. I personally didn't think it was cost-wise to do that anyway, but I don't think that this in any way would indicate that those cities would not have access to this equipment, and you might want to expound on that, Representative Anderson, but I'm correct in that, aren't I? Everybody would have access to it.
Now, Mr. Chairman, if I could direct your attention or committee members' attention to page 6 in the pamphlet that should be in your folder, you will see that the system originally, as originally intended, was to include the master computer in the very center of this diagram on page 6 in Anchorage, and then the subsystems in Juneau, Fairbanks. And then the facsimile locations identified in the outside circle on that same page. When we cut the total amount of the project down, what we did was to eliminate all of the smaller locations, leaving in Anchorage, Fairbanks, and Juneau. Now, the point raised by Mr. Senator Eliason is a point certainly well considering. However, it does not, the fact that we've eliminated these smaller towns does not eliminate them from participating in gaining the advantages of the whole system. What it simply does is takes away their facsimile machines, some of their automation, if you will, but still allows them to correspond via the mail or telephone or hand carry their latent fingerprints to one of the locations, either Anchorage, Fairbanks, or Juneau, and still have the benefit of rapid results from the from the computer system. So they're not really being eliminated per se.
Is there any other questions?
Just another question in regards to that. The point of having these facilities in other areas, of course, is to utilize the information at that moment. As an example, Beryl, how do you handle that?
No, it is not too late. Now, the way Barrow would handle it is they would either hand carry, when they left a fingerprint of value from a crime scene, they would either hand carry that fingerprint on an airplane or transmitted through the regular mail. And we're talking about just whatever time it would take to get it there in that fashion. As to whether or not it's too late, it may never be too late to make an identification, depending on circumstances. As an example, I can tell you of one case in Anchorage that occurred in excess of 20 years ago, where there is a latent fingerprint, and it's positively been established that that fingerprint belongs to the person that committed the murder. That murder has not been found, and if the system were in place today, that fingerprint could be identified within a matter of minutes, less than 5 minutes, and that case probably solved. And that was in excess of 20 years ago, so it may never be too late.
Mr. Chairman?
Sir?
Representative Anderson, one question. I know, for instance, that Anchorage has been filing a whole lot of these and has a very difficult manual kind of a system. Have areas outside collected fingerprints, and if they have, will they be built into the mainframe on this? For instance, Sitka now. Has Sitka had a system where they are keeping fingerprint information but not had a way to automate it, or is it just certain of the areas?
Senator Sturgalewski, almost every police agency throughout the state in the various cities and towns in Alaska over the years have been doing pretty much the same thing that's done in Anchorage. Only Anchorage, because of its size, is doing it on a larger scale. over the years, for various reasons, people are fingerprinted, and also latent fingerprints, are, or rather suspect fingerprints, are lifted from crime scenes, and they're put on file. Currently in the state of Alaska, there are in excess of 2 million fingerprints on file, in manual files throughout the state, just manually filed in drawers and so forth. All of these fingerprints will be put into the computer system and be a part of the system.
That's my question. Will they won't have to wait to have this facsimile or printout in order for the process of collection to begin to get this information? So in other words, other areas will be benefiting, but may not have as quick a retrieval system. That's
each agency in the state of Alaska that has a batch of criminal suspect fingerprints and also fingerprint cards will feed all of those cards will be fed into the system immediately as soon as it's online.
Thank you.
That's true.
Any further questions? Senator Lyson.
Chairman, facsimile is apparently cost less than $12,000 a piece.
Well,
is that all we're looking at for each bush area, $12,000 for each?
No, as I understand it, and I didn't put together the fiscal notes on this, but the Alaska State Troopers did, but as I understand it, there's a certain amount of training that goes into it, installation, the cost of the equipment, all of those things are added into it. Just exactly what each of those locations would have costed, I at this point, I don't know.
One further question, Mr. Chairman. If in fact we do install this equipment, I would hope that maybe next year, the following year, that Alaska would be a part of the rest of Alaska would be part of this network rather than just this year, missing out this year. Because I think it's important that some of the other cities, not quite as large as Juneau, are Fairbanks would be included.
Good point.
Mr. Chairman, can I comment on that,
Mr. Anderson?
Just a brief comment. It was originally anticipated, of course, to involve all of the smaller communities in the whole state of Alaska, and then when we found that the money was short, we selected Anchorage, Fairbanks, and Juneau as being centrally located and also the larger communities in the state that have the bulk of the fingerprint cards on file. It's anticipated that if funds are available in the future, that then the system will be expanded accordingly. So this would be the long-range plan.
Thank you. Senator Dankler?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I want to make a motion to move the bill out. It's an appropriation bill, but it's also accompanied by a fiscal note. I think that I would move that we not move out the fiscal note, that the appropriation bill itself is sufficient. So with that, without a fiscal note, I would recommend that I move that we move out committee substitute for House Bill number 344, Finance and Individual Recommendations.
All in favor of the motion? Bill moves out individual recommendations. Next item to take up will be House Bill 366, Special Appropriation to Asher for Purchase of Houses Built Under the Department of Act.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Clausen is here and can testify on this bill.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Don Clausen. I'm here supporting your consideration of House Bill 366. In 1969 and 70, a number of houses were built in various rural communities in the state of Alaska through the so-called Bartlett Housing Act program. That's a federal program. The houses were funded by federal money through the Department of Housing and Urban Development. However, the houses were constructed under the supervision of the Alaska State Housing Authority. Right after those houses were completed, they started falling apart. The residents of those houses filed suit alleging that they were poorly designed, poorly constructed, and therefore they hadn't received the bargain that they had intended. In 1981, the last of those lawsuits was finally settled. During that period of time, some people continued to make the house payments on those houses, even though they were substandard. The last of the lawsuits, like I said, was settled in 1981. The agreement with, and these were lawsuits against the Alaska State Housing Authority, the agreement was that the federal government, not the state, would pay to construct new quality houses to replace the houses that had been built in 70, or 69 and 70. In addition, the Alaska State Housing Authority agreed to forgive the debt that was owed to the state of Alaska by the residents and agreed to give title to the old houses to those residents, in many cases, because that's where the new house was going to be built. That agreement did not resolve the question of payments that had been made by those rural residents for those houses to the state of Alaska. This bill would appropriate $239,382 to the Alaska State Housing Authority to pay refunds to those people. The reason it's such a specific amount is that is exactly the amount of money that these folks paid to ASHA on these houses that were later determined to be substandard. So it's simply a refund of money paid. It's the final part of a settlement. The new houses are being constructed now under federal money that was provided, like I say, in this settlement. So it's $239,000 appropriation, and I think it would complete what's an unfortunate part of our history, which is the construction of very shoddy housing in rural Alaska. There are 282 families involved in 16 villages. I'd be happy to give you details on those. They're pretty much scattered throughout the state. One item, Mr. Chairman, the effective date failed in the House. There is a lapse date of June 30, 1982. I recommend if the committee does wish to take action on the bill, they amend that to June
30,
1983. Mr.
Chairman.
Mr. Senator.
It's Representative Fox, and I remember the discussion on this bill last year, and it seems like it went on before the Community and Regional Affairs Committee. Are the people all listed so, and by a court decision, so that the question of equity has already been determined as to who should receive and the amounts and so on. And that is that part of the court settlement?
Yes,
do I understand?
Well, it's not technically part of the settlement, but those people have been identified. There is no dispute whatsoever about the amounts of money. I have the list of individual amounts of money paid by each person. It's simply a bookkeeping exercise to determine how much they actually paid.
And I'm correct, am I, that this is the second, I believe there was an earlier amount that had been given, but this clarifies, settled all of the claims.
It was a separate group of people, a separate lawsuit. There were numerous lawsuits filed over the remote housing program generally, but these people were not affected.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions?
Thank you.
Second. Mr. Chairman, I move an estimated consent that House Bill 366 be left from committee with individual recommendation.
Motion for the committee to move it out of individual recommendation.
For clarification, Senator Sackett, the request was to change the section.
That's correct. amended June 30, 1983.
Remove my objection.
Motion to amend it to June 30th, 1983.
Then move it out
to individual recommendations. I move it out individual recommendations. All in favor? So move the recommendations as amended. Take up Senate Bill 866, Special Appropriations, Senate State Affairs Committee, for study of contracting for state services. Is there anyone here to testify on that bill? Take up Committee Substitute House Bill 509, the act related to cannabis and employment, unemployment for the state.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Jacob.
Which Senate first? Excuse me. Okay, we'll hold it Monday.
That's the whole list was also Next item we'll take up will be Committee Substitute House Bill 643, 81 appropriation. Reappropriate for SNDOT, appropriate by State Department, Finance Division.
The, does everybody have a copy of 643?
Mr. Chairman, mine was just delivered about 15 minutes ago.
I thought you got one last night.
Well, it was after 9 when it was available, and I thought I'd wait till.
Do you have a copy?
I have a copy.
Does everybody have a copy?
Would you give me a copy? 643?
Yeah.
Right.
The, I'd like to do this, Mr. Chairman, because of the very nature of this type of bill and the length of it. If we could, I wanted to bring up for the purpose of displaying it on before the committee, 643, and give everybody a day or two to digest it, and see if there's any, if there's anything in this bill that anybody at the committee would like to have a senator come and testify to as to what's in there, and you know, have any questions on any section. I gave each person a section of analysis. Basically, of course, what this is in the drafting of this bill, it's been some time in the drafting, is where different legislators would like to reallocate things within their districts in past appropriations. Of course, they're subject to veto, and under the same conditions as anything else, there is no cost to this bill. It's zero fiscal number. But people have, and I think that in my own judgment, this is a healthy process. Sometimes we put things in that don't work out, and we would like to reallocate them within our district. So I, in writing this bill and drafting it, it's been about 2 months in the drafting, and I'm going to leave this on the desk for at least through tomorrow so that everybody can. But I'd be glad to have anybody that has any question on any section in this bill. I'll be glad to have the legislator here that will testify on that section. There is also a great deal of the hydroelectric that was originally in 608, of course, is in here, and reallocation of the hydro bill. One, of course, involves Green Lake is and some additional infusion into Tyee Lake and Bradley Lake. So, but the fiscal note is zero. And I have a sectional. I broke out what each section does. So if there's any questions on it, I'd be glad to let me know, and I'll have the legislator here.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Sorkin.
This bill has not been available earlier for perusal. So, you know, we're kind of starting from ground zero here, at least I am. I'd like to make a request through the chair, if it has not been done, that we ask legislative finance to go through to check the technical part of it. In other words, the in and out. Would that be, has that been done, Senator?
I can't answer that. Max isn't here at the moment, but he's been working through with legislative finance, and I'm going to assume that, but I don't know the answer.
Mr. Chairman, I would appreciate that, you know, the allocation, so
sure.
That because it's a very major bill. And I just would like to know, I guess, for my edification, the governor sent a letter dated May 5th about the question of specific non-grants language he felt should be removed from the budget. The legislative add-ons will be subject to competitive bidding, and I see we've got a lot of directed grants here, and we were given very firm instructions on the whole process of the budget not to put those on. Is there, you know, put those in the budget? Has there been any kind of agreement with the government to accept the items that are listed in this bill?
Absolutely not. Anything in this bill, so far as I'm aware, as I introduced it, is subject to the same conditions that he's always imposed, and each individual legislator will have to discuss that with the governor, as he has in the past, as to whether it'll survive his veto. But he's been very clear on those subjects, and everybody has been notified of that. And if there are people who have those in here and in their particular districts, then they will discuss that with the governor, I suppose, personally. But It's certainly subject to veto, and I have no arrangement otherwise.
Mr. Chairman, and I am interested in the various hydro allocations and wonder if, no, I don't know who would be appropriate to have to justify some of those projects. Are these new dollars we're talking or reallocated dollars from projects from last year? Because I think there are some areas, of particular concern. So I would be interested in either some of the backup or some testimony on what they have. We'll be very happy to meet to you some of the items that I consider a priority. I've not seen what's in here, so I don't know whether that's included.
If you let me know which ones they are, but I'd be glad to get that for you, and we can have people testify as to the reallocation of those funds. One thing that, so that all the members will know, is that in the Green Lake project, the city of Sitka has elected not to join the energy plan for Alaska. So they had money appropriated for that fund, which they instead made an agreement to borrow $15 million from the state and be out of the project. But the balance of their money went to the Bradley Lake project. $20 million went back to the Bradley Lake project with some, and then there was some reallocations of the balances of funds throughout the bill. I can break that out for you if you want to know where the money went. At any rate, I won't take the committee's time anymore other than relay it here, and I think I don't know that it would be proper at this time for me to move this as a suggested committee substitute and just let it lay here as a substitute, because I'm sure this is what we'll be working off of. If there's no objections, I'd make that motion that the draft before you today is a committee substitute, for House Bill number 643, Finance Amended, and then we'll just leave it here. That's the motion.
Okay. All in favor?
I object.
State your objection.
Well, I'm just not prepared to have the committee adopt this as the committee substitute at this time, especially since we're giving a hopefully a day or so to take a look at it.
The Mr. Chairman, one thing about this, I don't mind giving anybody their turn. I don't care if you move the thing today or not. That's fine if Senator Stimson would like to do it, but eventually we're running out of time if we're going to move this legislature along. I do want everybody to know that I would make a motion probably tomorrow or the day after to move this bill so that we can get it out. It's still in finance. You've got to go to ruling and get on the floor before perhaps Saturday.
Senator Elijah?
Chairman, maybe there's a misunderstanding. What you're trying to do is put this work draft before us as a work draft. There's any changes, and then, of course, it'd be drafted in the final form. Is that what you're saying?
It's still subject to serving this committee. It may be the way they want to.
Right.
Subject to that.
Exactly. I see a change in that.
Sure. That's why I sent everybody a copy as late as yesterday. I hope I got the most out of it. It was late in the evening before we got back. But if you, anyway, let's look at it tomorrow. And if you have any questions, let me know in advance, and I'll have the senator here.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Stewart.
You have no objection to my request, though, that this be technically checked by legislative finance if it has not been done?
No, I'll be glad to do that.
Senator Stewart.
Do you know what the total amount of money is that we're reappropriating?
I believe the total on this bill is right in the front of it. Should be $150 million. It's $152,776,300. I think it's just in the neighborhood of about $80 million of that is hydro, just reappropriating hydro.
Any further questions? Put this on the desk until tomorrow. She sent out a picture of Sharon to revert back to and for the second time today take up Senate Bill 866.
Senator Fisher.
Mr. Chairman? Thank you for the opportunity to testify on this bill, and thanks for bringing up the bill. This bill relates to some work done by the State Affairs Committee during the session, some staff work, and relates to Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 50, which was passed by the Senate a couple of weeks ago. That resolution would establish a policy to have the state contract out provision of state services to the people of Alaska whenever that were feasible, cost-effective, and so on. Such contracting to be with municipalities, nonprofit corporations, and private enterprise as appropriate. The study that we did on a staff basis during the year looked at several departments, and I believe you have the report on that. But essentially what we found just looking at three departments was that there could be some massive cost savings, or, and if not cost savings, at least elimination of state positions through the contracting out of state services. This was true in the Department of Transportation, this was true in Health and Social Services, and in the Department of Fish and Game. This bill proposes an interim study through the State Affairs Committee, which would essentially be carried out under contract, to further, in much greater detail, investigate what could be done and then make recommendations to the next legislature on steps to be taken.
Senator Daybrook?
Senator Fisher, I think you and I may have discussed this before. I do appreciate sometimes the fact that we go out in public and run these bills through when we want to do a study or something. I think sometimes that has to stand the light of day, and that's good. I do have some problems, however, on if we're going to take $125,000, is that just to hire one consultant or two,
yeah,
or is that for your staff? Or
Mr. Chairman, actually, my initial thought in having this bill drafted was not to hire a consultant, but really to to obtain consultant services, because there may be several different types of services required. The basic thought is that maybe a management firm or some kind of a personnel firm or a group of firms, maybe including people who are in management firms and accounting firms and the university and wherever. So that, so far as I'm concerned, it should not be one consultant, and I certainly don't have in mind a you might say a soft consulting job on this. My hope would be that out of this would come some very specific recommendations, exact criteria for determining what services could be contracted out, what criteria should be established for contracting, what processes and safeguards to ensure that cost effectiveness is assured over time, what to do about existing state personnel. I've had quite a few communications, as you might imagine, from APEA and others about this whole concept.
I guess my question about it is and I think we have to be careful, that is this money, if we do this study, is it going to be used to maintain your staff? I mean, is it
no, this is not to be a
staff
type thing.
That's what I would hate to see legislators start doing is, you know, dream up something to study and then keep their staffs on for a year. Because most of us have been, there's another channel in which we go there, but if that's not the purpose, that you're not doing this just for the purpose of...
Mr. Chairman, the purpose of this is not to keep the staff on.
Will this contract work be put out on bid?
Competitive proposals, yes.
You'll follow all those.
I'll follow all the proper legislative procedure.
Thank you, Mr.
Any other questions? Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Is anyone else here to testify, Mr. Bill? If not, we have a motion.
Chairman, move it out to individual recommendation.
Motion for the committee to move it out individual recommendations. All in favor? So be it. nothing further to come before the committee.